Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Tom Moran here from Tom's Big Spider. So first off, a huge happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers, anyone out there celebrating Mother's Day today. Hope you have a fantastic one. Hope the weather's nice. Hope you have fun with your family, husband, children, whatever it may be. This is actually going to be a shorter episode today because it is Mother's Day and I don't want to sequester myself up here doing podcasts while Billy is downstairs. So I was actually at one point considering not doing a podcast today, but I figured I could squeeze one. I did some feeding earlier this morning, and I had a topic that I kind of wanted to cover again, and it's one that I mentioned at the end, I think the end of last podcast I wanted to be covering. But to give the background for this, I was invited recently to partake in a collaboration video with Petco from the Dark Den, which I thought was a great gesture because the topic of the collaboration was about water dishes, whether or not they are absolutely necessary for the tarantulas to survive. And I thought that was a pretty cool gesture by Petco because he has traditionally not been the biggest fan of using water dishes. I've had conversations with other folks that it kind of frustrates them because he is obviously a huge presence in the hobby, especially for folks who get all their information on YouTube. And they see his videos, they hear him talk about how they're not needed. They get it from food, they get it from water inside the enclosure, humus, whatever. He has a lot more plants in his enclosure, so they get them from around the plants. Whatever it may be, they hear that and they walk away and say they don't need water dishes. So I thought it was a very cool gesture of him to invite me on, knowing probably full well that I was going to possibly say the opposite of what he was saying. And he was incredibly respectful in both the introduction and the afterward part of the clip that I sent him. It was one of those deals. As anybody knows, I've been trying to put together a video on water dishes for a long time. I have the script. It's super long. I've been collecting pictures and videos of people's spiders drinking to try to put in the background of this. Because again, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, you can't get any better than dozens of pictures of tarantulas drinking. So trying to encapsulate everything I wanted to say, I was given 1 or 2 minutes into that time period, was very, very difficult because I don't think it's the easiest thing to explain. Or I think my way of going at it is anytime I'm going into a debate, I try to go in basically thinking about every argument the other person is going to make, and I try to shoot that argument down right off the bat with my own argument. And I know some of the popular things that pop up. I know the counter arguments to them, but there was no way to fit it all in. So it was a little frustrating. The good news was I went through some of the comments. Some of them were frustrating me and I didn't respond to too many of them because again, when somebody, I don't know, I have this thing, it's like etiquette. If somebody invites you over to their channel, you don't want to start like little battles on their channel with some of their subscribers and whatnot, because some of the things people were saying were like, it just drove me nuts because it was ridiculously ignorant, especially after having what I thought a pretty good presentation on why we should use them. But one thing that did get lost in the mix and does sometimes get lost in the mix of this argument is the fact that when folks hear water dishes, some folks immediately think that's all the keeper is using. They're throwing a water dish in and that's it. And I last podcast mentioned the fact that we talk about a system for watering tarantulas or keeping tarantulas hydrated. And I do believe most of us come up with systems that work. And a system doesn't mean it's one thing or another. Sometimes it's many, many things. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk about a bit today is my system for keeping my tarantulas hydrated. Because I think if you just put in a water dish, you're sometimes missing the mark with a lot of species. And I think that's the way these arguments turn into black or white. Somebody will be, I'm misting. Well, I don't need to use water dishes. Well, I'm not saying don't mist. I keep my substrate moist. I don't need to do that. I dribble water on the webbing. I don't need to keep a water dish. I completely understand. I do too. So that was one of the things I kind of wanted to talk about today. Again, I did go through the comments because this is a huge audience that we're reaching, and it seemed to be there were people that weren't going to change their mind. There were some people that seemed to be on the fence, and those are the people we're always trying to grab. There are going to be people in any situation, any debatable topic, that they will not allow their minds to be changed. We call it in education the fixed mindset, where it doesn't matter what information you're presented, how much evidence you're shown, you're not going to change your mind. And I find those types of people to be very, very irritating, I guess would be the nice way of putting it, because I do have, I think, some strong opinions, but I'm always open to hearing other things. Best case scenario, I learn something new and do something different. And that's happened before where I looked at certain things and went, no way. And then I think about it, I hear more information and I change how I do things. And then, you know, worst case scenario, you know what to argue against when the debate comes up. You go, nope, I don't agree with you at all. And here's my retort. So I don't think there's anything wrong with being open-minded. So some of the comments, very, very close-minded. Some up in the air. Some people going, you know what? I never thought of it that way. Some people doing the old, I thought they would drown. I'm glad to hear they're not. And that was one thing he did say. He did a video. We're not going to get into it, but there was a recent video where he showed that they won't drown. We're going to leave it at that. And I think that was good in a way because some folks walked away from it going, oh, they can have water dishes because they can't drown. That's a great thing. So I think that's one thing that prevents people from putting water dishes into their enclosures, the fact that they believe that tarantulas are going to drown. There are still folks out there that do the sponges. I just got one the other day where somebody set their tarantula, and it looked like it was right out of the 1990s. It was a 10-gallon tank, some pebbles on the bottom, some type of sandy pebble type thing, about an inch of it. I think they're called Hubba Hut or something. Those ones you used to get for snakes or like half of a pine tree or something, like a pine, outside of a pine tree. And then a water dish with a sponge in it. It's still happening. And it's not because people are trying to hurt their spiders. It's because they believe that the spider is going to somehow get into that dish and drown. And that's obviously not the case. So I'm glad that's out there. And I think most people are finally getting that point that they're not going to drown their water dishes. So that's excellent. The fact that they won't use water dishes, that's the one that kills me now. The fact that people will sit there and say, well, why put them in there when they won't use them? Well, A, we know they use them. Does every tarantula in my collection use its water dish? Obviously, I don't know. But I think one thing that pops up and one argument that I hear is I put a water dish in with my tarantula. I never saw it drink, so I pulled it out. And then my retort to that is always, so you're watching them 24/7? Because I'll tell you, if you've ever gone up, and I think many of us have done this, into your tarantula room after lights are off, especially if you're up there with a red light, red lights are great because supposedly they can't see the red light spectrum, so they don't even recognize that there's lights out there, you'd be amazed the activity you see. All those spiders you don't normally see, those arboreals that are secreted away, the fossorial species that hang out in their burrows and you never see any more than their feet, a lot of them will be out in the open. Another trick is to go up early in the morning before the sun comes up. When you're like, I used to do this all the time because if you remember my old house, my personal closet was in the tarantula room. It was this weird thing, it was an extra closet, and there was just easier for me to keep my clothes down there. So I'd get changed in the tarantula room, and I'd come in first thing in the morning. I'd catch so many things out. And I can't tell you how many times I've come up at night or gone up there with a flashlight and seen ones out drinking. So to say you don't ever see them drink or they don't use it, that's silly. We don't know. Now, is there ever going to be like a way to prove your spiders use their water dishes? No, but I think we've seen enough evidence of them drinking to know that it's nice to have it in there. The other thing that I hear from folks is the fact that, you know, for excuses for not, or reasons, I shouldn't say excuses, but reasons they don't want to have water dishes is they don't have water dishes in nature. That one irritates me to no end. There was a couple of them I actually responded to because I don't know, that one just strikes me as one of the silliest responses ever. So you're telling me the spider that we're keeping, obviously very naturally, in a plastic or glass box that has basically controlled temperatures, that has substrate that's probably not what they find where they come from, that has some piece of cork bark in there that's probably not what they use where they come from, that has probably plastic plants, or if you have real plants that they don't have where they come from, that has a keeper that's coming in periodically and dropping in prey items right to them. They don't have to sit there and wait all day long for it. They don't have to brave the elements or come out in the hot sun and hope that something comes by. Like, where are we going with this? Nothing about how we keep them is natural. And if we're going to go by straight keeping them natural, does that mean we should have a hot sun beating down on them? Should that mean that we let our cats in the room or let other animals in the room to predate on them? Because that's a possibility in nature. Like, that's the silliest argument ever. Because obviously they don't have water dishes in the wild, but they do have things like morning dew. They do have rain showers. They do have little streams that come by. They have places they can get water. And those are things that aren't naturally going to happen in our collections. So giving them water dish is just a way of, again, we're pampering these guys. We're trying to keep them as comfortably as possible. In many cases, they are kept at a temperature that is perfect for them, as opposed to having to be out and hide in their burrows because it's too hot or too cold or too wet or too dry. They have everything they need. So the idea that they don't have it in nature, that just makes zero sense to me. And it's one of those ones that irritates me because where do you draw the line? Obviously, when you're keeping any animal, especially an exotic animal, the idea is you're trying to keep it as comfortable as possible. We're not trying to make life torturous for it. We're not trying to set it up perfectly. We're trying to make the animal comfortable. And that's what water dishes are about. It's that extra bit of comfort, that extra insurance to make sure that they have water dishes. Again, I don't understand and never will how people can watch videos of them drinking. The ones, the clips that I used for the one for Petco's video were specifically ones I have an arboreal in there coming down to drink. I believe it was a avicularia. It might have been my Caribbean Versicolor. I can't remember, but it was one of the arboreals that people go, well, they won't come down and drink. A couple of them were arid species. I had my G. porteri taking a nice big drink. I think I had my Gramostola pulchropes taking a drink. I had my OBT, one of those ones that we keep dry, coming down and taking a drink. That should be an eye opener for people. And I think with the water dishes in particular, a lot of the species that will use them more often, that will catch them using them more often, are those arid ones, the ones that we have to keep dry because they don't like the moist substrate. So where are they going to get their moisture from? Sure, they'll get some from their prey, but if they got everything they needed from their prey, they wouldn't use the water dishes in the first place. So I think it's important to recognize that, yes, they use them. Some of the arguments against them, one of the other arguments that comes up quite a bit is the fact that they often fill them with dirt. Well, yes, I think it's a common theory that in the wild where they have, especially some of these species that come from areas where it doesn't rain often, when it rains, they'll have little streams open up on the ground, they'll have little puddles. That's a place that they can dump refuse, whether it be dirt that they've cleaned out of their burrows, whether it be boluses, whether it be old molts. It's a place they can dump their garbage and it'll disappear. I'm sure that's probably where it comes from. That's where a lot of people think it comes from. But just because they fill it with dirt, the way I see it, if they fill it with dirt, that's awesome. You take it out, it takes like less than a minute. I do this all the time. You take the water dish out, you dump it, you rinse it, you put it back in, put more water in. I have seen spiders. I have put water dishes in, watch spiders come over within an hour, drink from them, and then later on fill them with dirt. Hey, that's fine. At least they got their drink. Next week, I'll clean it out again. We're not talking about, and I think some folks also get caught up in the fact where they hear water dishes and they think, oh my gosh, you have to go in there every day and clean the water dish. No, you're giving it access to clean water for most of the week. If they fill it with dirt, sure. After it's filled with dirt, they won't be able to get anything out of it, but it's obvious at that point they didn't need a drink, but someday they may, and in which case, that dish will be there. So my Firmicutes a lot will take them and fill them up with dirt. That's fine by me. I pluck them out. I either clean them or I use those 5-ounce deli cups that I can basically just swap them out, put a clean one in, throw the other one in the recycle bin. It's not that difficult. The other thing that came up in the video in the comments, I believe Pecco actually brought this up himself, is some people don't want to use them because of the aesthetics, and that one was, I guess, kind of shocking to me. I had a discussion with a buddy of mine, Eric Topping, who does some beautiful enclosures, very naturalistic. He does all the backgrounds, creates just these amazingly naturalistic enclosures, yet he still has water dishes in them. And yeah, the water dishes sometimes stick out a little bit compared to the rest of the enclosure, but I think he finds that it's important to put them in there. I'm sure the way Eric's working, they'll be eventually, I think the trick will be eventually to find water dishes that kind of blend in. They have ones that look like rocks. They have ones that look like wood stumps that are hollowed out. There's a lot of different things you go. Granted, they're a little pricey usually. Somebody on the video mentioned a type of dish that they make that is very naturalistic. It blends right into the environment. I mean, if that's the case and you're worried about the aesthetic, my thing is aesthetics always come second. I've spoke about this many, many times, especially when talking about ideal enclosures and the fact that sometimes the pretty enclosure isn't the one, the aesthetically pleasing enclosure isn't the best one for that particular spider. I've seen people put avicularia species in ones that don't have enough cross ventilation or ventilation. I've seen people put Theraphosa species in ones that aren't big enough or offer way too much top ventilation, so all the moisture is just going to evaporate out because it's a screen. Things of that nature. I think aesthetics should always come second. We should always be asking ourselves when working with our spiders, what is best for the spider? Not what is best for Tom. What is best for the spider to look really nice on a shelf? What's best for the spider to look good in my next video? It should never be down that. It should be what is best for this spider. It's safety, it's well-being, its ability to thrive. So if it comes down to you just don't like the way they look, kind of bothers me a bit. But I think the trick would be, all right, I challenge you, then go out and find something that looks good. If you're seeing, I've seen some of these builds are incredible that people have been doing. The amount of work that goes in to creating the backgrounds and these ledges and these places for plants to grow out of, just, it's mind-boggling how much thought is put into it. You're telling me you can't put thought into how to make a water dish? I'm sure somebody could probably either 3D print them or you could make resin ones. I mean, that would be the next step. Start making some resin ones that kind of blend in with the terrain. There's no excuse there not to put them in there. So aesthetics, not a good reason not to have one. The other one I get a lot is the fact that the tarantulas cover them up with webbing. again, the garbage thing. I get it. And I have ones, I will be honest, that I sometimes struggle a bit to keep the water refilled because they web over it, they cover it up, they flip the water dish over. I get it. But it doesn't take a lot of time, and it doesn't take a lot of time to clean them. For the ones that web over it, I think I've shared the trick before where I take one of those 5-ounce deli cups, I put it in there, and if they web it up, I just drop another one inside it. Sometimes I go in there with little scissors. I cut a little hole in the webbing around the cup. I drop another one inside it and fill it up. It's easy as that. So my opinion, again, I won't sit there and say I'm right, this person's wrong, but my opinion is when you add a water dish to a tarantula enclosure, you are allowing that spider to get moisture anytime it wants. So any of the other things we use, and we're going to roll into those in a moment, to keep a spider hydrated, that supplements them. That's your insurance policy. That is, hey, I used some spraying. It got a little hot. It evaporated quickly. The spider was left with no water. It needed a drink before a molt, and there was nothing there. Nope, now it's got a water dish. And I have, that's one thing that I think people don't realize, and we talked about this a couple podcasts ago, is the fact that when your spider is already in pre-molt, and you start moistening things down and giving them water dishes, it's probably already too late. You got to make sure they have access to that water at all times. It can't be a, oh God, it's not eating, it's in pre-molt, guess I better put some water in there. That's going to be too late for many cases. That's where you're going to get some of those molting issues. And speaking of issues they can have when they don't have access to water, one of the things that came up in this discussion through the comments was the fact that tarantula impaction, a lot of people, including Dr. Andy Anderson, mentioned the fact that he believes that tarantula impactions are sometimes caused by the fact that the spider didn't have access to enough water. If you think about it, and I had folks up there going, no, that's the feeders. The feeders clog them up. We're not talking reptiles here. That's a totally different animal. I love when people come on, they're like, oh yeah, I think one person mentioned the bearded dragon or something. They can get bound up eating certain prey items. That's not how spiders work because they suck all the moisture out. There's no chunks in there to bind them up or anything. So that's just not, that's flawed logic there. Obviously, we want to make sure that the spider has every chance to get hydrated. And obviously, if you think about what might cause a tarantula to become impacted, obviously molt issues. We talked about one of the ones I had. I do believe there was issues with the molt around the anus area of the tarantula by the spinnerets. I think something might have been stuck. I couldn't see it. It sealed it up. It could be malformed from not getting enough moisture. It could be the fact that it's not like just like human beings, constipation. When there's not enough moisture in with the feces, it gets stuck. We don't know, but it sure makes sense that a spider that is well hydrated would probably have less of a chance of becoming impacted. Now, I know some people came on and went, well, I've had spiders. I kept all my spiders the same way. Why didn't they all get impacted? Just like any disease for the person or an animal, some are more susceptible than others. Just because one, you can have five people eating the same diet, the same exact diet, and one of them may become constipated or have an issue. It's the same thing with spiders. You can't just go, well, this one didn't die, so therefore it couldn't have been the situation with that one. That's a false negative. That doesn't work that way. The idea is if you're having an issue like that, and I know looking back at the one that I had it happen with, I think it was probably she had a molt. I think I probably kept it too dry. I know I got a little lax with her water dish because in my mind, it was an arid species. It wasn't going to matter. And I have to look back and think I could be part of the problem. It could have been my fault because she didn't have enough water. It was one of those situations, again, where she didn't have water for a little while. I think she had filled out one of those water dishes that was, I think, the Jamie's ones, the resin ones, and they dry up rather quickly. And I think the moisture kept evaporating out of it quickly. And I kind of stopped filling it for a little bit. And then I realized she was in pre-molt and I filled it up, but it was probably too late. Who knows? Is it my fault? I don't know. I have to look at my keeping though and go, is there something I could have done differently that might have prevented it? And I think in cases of impaction, if you have a spider that's impacted and it didn't have access to water at all times, that's the first thing you should look at. That would be the first thing I would tell somebody that came to me and said, my tarantula died. I think it was impacted. All this poo shot out afterwards. What could I have done differently? And if I asked, did you have a water dish? And they go, well, no, that would be the first thing I would point to. So tricky topic, only because I don't understand why it's so controversial, honestly. I don't understand why people have to dig in on the other side of it. Again, we're talking about something that takes, and one of these days I'm going to shoot a video of me doing water dishes and show how fast I go through. I feed them, pluck out boluses, water dishes, and I have the top back on that spider enclosure, that door shut within a minute or two. That shouldn't take a long time to do water dishes. People, it's the other thing, I think years ago some YouTuber came out and she said, I don't use water dishes because it's just too much of a pain in the butt. It takes too much time. And it's like, are you kidding me? You're taking care of probably one of the easiest pets to care for in the exotics trade on Earth, and you can't afford 30 seconds to pour some water in a water dish, or, oh my gosh, maybe 60 seconds to clean it out and then pour some water in it, that strikes me as silly. So I don't know why it's such a hotly debated topic, but one of the things, and leading into the rest of this discussion, that I think some people get hung up on, again, is the fact that they think those of us who use water dishes, that's all we use, and that's not true. And that's something I really wish I could have gotten into that video to explain that, listen, I'm not just using water dishes here. There are many ways to keep my tarantulas hydrated. So, for example, avicularia species. We know that we should probably keep avicularia species on the drier side. I actually keep mine substrate almost bone dry all the time. I will pour some water in, have it overflow a little bit, but that's about it. One of the things I do with my avicularia species, number one, I give them all water dishes. When the water dishes evaporate, that naturally raises the humidity inside that enclosure, the moisture level inside that enclosure, and they seem to do just fine with that. It also gives them a place to drink. I have pictures of both my avicularia morph 6 and my Carabina versicolors drinking. They came down from the top. They're usually always up high. They are true arboreals. They came down, and I got them in the water dishes drinking. So why wouldn't I give them water dishes? However, the other thing that I've noticed with avicularia species and some arboreal species is they love siphoning moisture off of the glass. It's probably, or plastic, whatever, if they're in acrylic enclosures. That's probably something akin to in the wild when there's rainfall or there's dew, they can go and suck the moisture off of the plant leaves. So I will mist. I know, folks, there's an argument out there about misting. You shouldn't mist. And back in my old self, I was like, I don't mist. Yeah, I do use misting strategically. I have misters that are kind of, they're not high pressure one, so I can kind of carefully, usually what I do is hold the mister or the spray bottle way above the enclosure and kind of spray it down so it kind of falls down like a heavy fog would and kind of puts little water droplets all over the plants in the enclosure, or fake plants all over the sides of the enclosure. And I have noticed that many avicularia species, when you do that, especially if it's before lights out, they will come out and they will siphon that right off the glass. I've noticed it with Pistolitheria species as well. I'll come in, I'll mist that thing down. I come in, there's a Pistolitheria. The other day I caught my Regalis out inside the enclosure, siphoning water right off it. That's a nice way, again, to give them another way to get moisture. So we're not just talking about one way, we're talking about multiple ways. With some of my slings, I will often mist a little bit before I close the enclosure. I'll feed them, and then before I close the enclosure, I'll just mist carefully, same way, the sides of the enclosure a little bit, so they have a little place to drink from. Now, I know back in the day, folks are like, no misting. I do feel like misting has its use. My problem is I don't think misting is the best way to keep a tarantula hydrated. So for example, I put up a video where I was talking about moisture dependent species and how I make it rain. And like, I don't need to make it rain. I just get a mister and I mist the top of the substrate. I disagree with that method. That is not how to keep a fossorial or a moisture-dependent fossorial well hydrated. With a fossorial species, they burrow down to get that moisture. And when you mist, all you're doing is moistening the top level of substrate. So what you're going to do is increase your chances for mold and mites and things of that nature decay, while at the same time not allowing the spider to go down and find that little and dig and find that little area that has the moisture level it needs. Because that's what they do. In the wild, if even some of the species that we talk about that are arid species, they dig down far enough that they find that water level underneath, that moist substrate, and they hide in there. So that's something to always keep in mind. So is misting a good way to keep a moisture-dependent species adequately hydrated? I do not believe that it is. My son and I did an experiment several years ago. It was during the summertime where we went and we misted a bunch of the enclosures, and when we kept track of how quickly it evaporated, in some cases it was like an hour, some cases 2 or 3 hours, definitely gone within 24 hours. It's gone. That's it. It doesn't have a chance to drink. And sometimes what happens is when we go and we mist, we do it when we're feeding them. Sometimes it's during the day where the lights are going to be on for several hours. The spider isn't necessarily going to come out and drink because it's not nighttime. They come out more at nighttime. So a good time to mist is always before bed. If you're doing your feedings and doing them at the end of the evening before it lights out. Here it's easy for me because the tarantula room isn't one that gets a lot of human traffic. It isn't one that people are going in and out of. So I can, if I want to turn the lights out at 6 o'clock in the evening, I can turn the lights out at 6 o'clock in the evening. So I can go around, mist a bunch of things, feed them, turn the lights out, let them drink. So misting, is it good? Do I believe it's a good way to keep tarantulas hydrated just by itself? I do not. I think the big one for moisture-dependent species is the old trick, making it rain, taking the water, making sure that you keep those lower levels of substrate moist. Moist substrate is key for the moisture-dependent species. When you keep those lower levels of substrate moist, you give the spider an opportunity to burrow down, find the moisture level that it needs. You allow the top to dry out to keep any unmentionables growing or festering up there. And as that moisture is released from the ground, from the substrate, it enters, obviously, the inside of that enclosure and creates like a little micro habitat with the higher humidity level that you want. So it doesn't matter what the humidity is in your room. If you have the correct enclosure design there, it's releasing it, letting it in. And you know what else helps that and benefits that? A big water dish. So a lot of times with my moisture dependent species, you do the moist substrate, you allow the top to dry out a little bit, put a nice big water dish in the corner. That helps as well. The moist substrate will keep the water dish from evaporating as quickly. The evaporation from the water dish will help, again, that microclimate you have in there. It's benefits the spider immensely, much more than just misting. Now, can you go ahead and mist that enclosure? You can, but sometimes it's a little over the top. I mean, if you have a good, especially in the summertime, and one thing you've always got to be careful of when the actual temperature and humidity level in the place that you're at is really high, you can back off on this a little bit. That's usually when I stop adding as much water, because bottom line, if the air in this tarantula room here is super humid, the moisture in those enclosures is going to evaporate much more slowly. Now, if it's super hot and humid, you got to play it by ear. But there is a example of how I use both the water dish and the traditional moist substrate to make sure my spiders not only have the moisture level they need in the air around them, but are able to come out and drink. And I have seen fossorials drink many, many times. They will come out. Once again, that trick is after the lights are out, a lot of times they will come out, they'll have a drink, they'll sit out there in the open for a little bit, lights come back on, sun comes in, lights come into the tarantula room, then they go back into their hides. Webbing, heavy webbers. That's another one I hear all the time. Well, they web over their water dishes. And I get that one. That's a tough one because I've had that too. And I'll be completely 100% honest. I've had ones that I have setups where they web so bad, it's like I don't even know where to stick a water dish anymore. I've had that happen. I get it. But the good thing is webbing is waterproof. And a lot of times what you can do is before evening, make it rain a little bit on the webbing. You can either mist the webbing for smaller species. I've done that before. They'll come out, they'll drink directly from the webbing, and that's great. Or you can make little puddles in the webbing with the water. I do try to keep water dishes at all times because, again, the other day, for example, I have my Coelobrachius fimbriatus. She has webbed the snot out of her enclosure. Like, there's really almost no room in there for anything. But I put a water dish in there. I caught her drinking. So there's one that I could dump water on the webbing. I'm sure she could drink from the webbing. But at that particular time, it had been a couple days. She came out. The water on the webbing had probably evaporated. There was a water dish. And, hey, I'll get a drink. So try to get them in there if possible, but keeping a water dish in there and sprinkling some water on the webbing, great way to make sure your heavy webbers stay hydrated. If they're smaller, again, just misting that webbing works great as well. Now onto, we've talked about the moisture-dependent species, some of arboreals, arid species. They're the ones that I catch drinking probably more than anything. Arid species, we're talking about the ones that really don't like moisture in their enclosures. I'm looking at my C. kynopubescens, my G. porteri, my Gramostola rosea, any of those ones that they generally prefer a drier environment. And if you moisten the substrate, they don't like it. You'll see they'll avoid it. If you give them moist substrate, they're up on the sides of the enclosure until it dries out. A lot of folks see that and go, well, they don't need water. They don't want water. Not true. Those are the ones you catch drinking more often than not. Those are the ones I think it's extra important to include water dishes. And I will say that the majority of, granted, the GBB will web over it. That's one of the webbers. However, my other species, Gramostola pulchropes, they love being bulldozers. They will sometimes bulldoze theirs over, cover them up. I have one behind me, my big girl, who has three water dishes in her enclosure now because she keeps burying them. But again, I've seen her drink, so I'm going to keep putting them in there. It's important that those arid species have access to water too. Again, the misting stuff, all you're doing is, but with misting with those species, it just doesn't work for me because they're not as likely to drink off the sides of the enclosure. They are more likely to be spooked by the misting. They are more likely to avoid that spot that gets moist, but I found that if you put a water dish in there, they will wander around when they're thirsty. They will take a drink from the dish. And if they fill it up with dirt, again, it takes 2 seconds. Okay, it takes 30 seconds to pluck out the dish and either clean it or put a brand new dish in there. Very, very simple. So hopefully these examples illustrate that when you're trying to provide moisture for your tarantula, for me, it's a system. It's a multifaceted approach. I will use more than one thing. It depends on the species. Are you moisture dependent? Are you arboreal? Are you a heavy webber? Are you an arid species? And then I adjust. But the water dish is an important piece of that. It's not the whole thing. It's not, here's a water dish, you're done. I just showed you there are many other ways to work with them, make sure they get that moisture. That's why if you ever watch any of my videos and you watch that table, you will see there's the big water jug that I use that has the holes in the top that I use to make it rain. I can put, you know, a quart of water in there around the edges, have it soak down to the bottom, keep the top mostly dry. I have a couple spray bottles. Some of them spray a little harder than others. I use those and mist the top of the enclosure, mist the webbing. I have water bottles for my water dishes that I use to fill up the water dishes. I just think that part of it gets lost a lot in this discussion because we're so zoned in on water dish, we're not recognizing the fact that those of us who use them in addition. It's insurance because, again, if you spray, it evaporates more quickly. Depending on how hot it is, it evaporates quite quickly. That only gives the spider maybe a couple hours of a window to get a drink. If you're just spraying to keep the substrate moist for the moisture-dependent species, I'll tell you what, it's not sinking down far enough, and all you're doing, that's not the way to keep a moisture. I'll say it flat out. That's not how you keep a moisture-dependent species. If you're missing the top and just keeping the top moist, you're not doing it correctly. They need to be able to burrow. A deep, moist substrate for those moisture-dependent species. And then dribbling on the web works as well. It's a multifaceted approach, and that's what people need to understand. That's what we need, I think, when we start responding to folks, like, they don't need a water dish. They do this, you do that. We go, I do that. I do spray. I do moisten down the substrate, but I do this on top of it. It's that security. It helps some substrate to not evaporate extra quickly. I've talked before about how if you have the really moisture dependent species, Theraphosa species, Omothymis, Hystericrates, you want to put in those extra water dishes sometimes. Like, I'll do two water dishes just to make sure, again, it's for insurance that things don't evaporate more quickly. They're very versatile. They're important for not only just making sure the spider can drink out of them, but again, maintaining that moist atmosphere or more moist atmosphere inside your actual enclosures so they don't dry out too quick. So hopefully, folks, when you encounter these, I think we all need to be on the same page now. I've been guilty of this as well, where I just jump into, yes, the water dishes work, yes, they'll drink. I think we need to work into more of the, hey, look it, I see where you're coming from, but we use them on top of everything else. And again, are we going to get everybody to see our side of it? Nope, they're going to be the closed-minded people that don't care, that they don't want. You could show them hours of tarantulas drinking from water dishes, and they'll go, eh, but that's okay, mine don't need them, or eh, that's okay, I don't like the way they look, eh, that's okay, I don't like cleaning them out. Obviously, we're not going to change their minds, but for people that are getting into the hobby that are newer, that are impressionable, they need to hear this information. For people that are on the fence, that maybe got into the hobby, they watch certain care videos, certain YouTubers that aren't fans of them, and now we're going to give them the other perspective. And I have found that a lot of them, when they see that other perspective, go, oh, that makes perfect sense to me. I actually put something up about I was going to be in that video, and I had a couple people comment that, yeah, back in the day, I was following so-and-so, this particular YouTuber, and didn't use them, and then I found yours, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I started using them. I'm so glad I did, because I had pictures of them drinking. That's awesome. So I think we all need to just be a little more careful when we enter into this argument. It's going to continue. It shouldn't be argument. It should be a debate. When we go into it, again, stay calm. Don't fall. When you get one of these people that are just out there like, you're wasting your time, they're stupid, they don't mean anything, just there's no point in arguing with them. But when you get to those folks that may be on the fence, that's where we break out the fact that, like, look it, this isn't just the be-all, end-all. We're not saying just give everything water dishes and walk away. There's more to it than that. I mean, I've always talked about how easy it is to keep tarantulas. I still stand by that. I still think they're very, obviously, people can make it very easy by not even supplying water dishes and things of that nature, but it shouldn't be that easy. We got to make sure we put those in there. So when it comes up in the future, feel free to point people to this podcast where I kind of lay it out there. Hopefully it helps explain it a little bit more. I would love to just go now and drop this link with all those comments of people like, it's a waste of time. Here you go. Just hear this out. But it's all about educating, guys. It's all about bringing people over to the side that we think is correct. And again, look what you have. I always love these type of debates because look what you have to lose by giving a water dish. What do you have to lose? Absolutely nothing. A few seconds, a moment of your time in a hobby that really doesn't require a lot of time. It doesn't cost you much money. If you want to go super cheap, use those little souffle cups. I think they're like $3 for 50 or whatever. They're super cheap. You have nothing to lose. Now, what do you have to lose if you don't give a moisture and your tarantula is going into pre-molt and it wasn't your misting day, or you were just missing the substrate and it's dry? What do you have to lose? You have your spider's life to lose. I think there's much more at stake. You have nothing to lose, everything to gain from including water dishes. So hopefully this gives some folks, I know I've had folks approach me before and they're like, I'm so frustrated, I was discussing this with another keeper and they won't see it. Again, the best thing you do, you drop, you you put your information out there politely, respectfully, and if it turns into one of those, they want to turn it into a fight, just step out. There's no point. That will do it for this one. Again, I said it was going to be shorter. A lot of times I say it's going to be shorter. It's not going to be a shorter one. And I do want to remind folks, when I first started doing the podcast, you know, what, 5.5 years ago, 5 years ago, my goal was to do 20 to 30 minute podcasts. So you've been getting a bargain. That's my excuse. But this one, I don't need to add extra stuff to it. It's a good topic. It's a standalone topic. As far as what I've been doing on YouTube, I always mention what I do on YouTube because I know some folks will come over there. We just rehoused two of my P. brachyramosa slings, my Malaysian blue femurs. I got these from Erin Cashel back when I got the Ephibopus or Ephibopus species from her, and they're just looking great. They're about 1.5 inches now or so, looking pretty big. So we rehouse them, not showing off any of the blues. I'm hoping that I get a female. Last time I had a male that matured. I shared this story in the video, but I went to do feeding and I had little crickets and I went to drop a little cricket in and its burrow was wide open. So I dropped the cricket in. I turned around. I came back. The cricket was gone. I went, okay, it ate. I closed the top of the enclosure. That was it. Come back the next day or day and a half later, the spider is laying on the top, freshly molted, and the cricket is chewing its legs off. It was awful. I was so upset. So yes, they can eat, the prey items can eat your spiders, attack and eat your spiders, especially when they're molting. I want to kick myself in the butt for this because I should have known better than they're dropping in, but honestly, it disappeared. I thought it ate it, and I had no idea the spider was in pre-molt because that den was wide open, and I thought it was still eating. What I usually do when they're in pre-molt, or I suspect the spider might be in a pre-molt, I pre-kill the item, leave it at the top of the burrow. I should have done it there. I didn't, and it cost me a spider. So I'm still upset about that, but I had these two. They're looking great, so if you want to check it out, that's out there. You can also find me on thomasbigspiders.com, Thomas Big Spiders Podcast. Please feel free to leave any comments up there or at Spotify. Guys, that will do it for this one. Again, everybody have an awesome Mother's Day. Hopefully it's as beautiful wherever you are as it is here, and we'll catch you all next time.